Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, let the guessing end. It is confirmed. War Games is set up with a big brawl at the end of Raw tonight after Seth Rollins retained the World Heavyweight title against Sami Zayn. We ended up with a big brawl involving Cody and Jay and Sami and Seth. And Adam Pearce had enough of the games, in case you didn't get where he was heading. He said, I'm tired of you guys playing games. If you want to play games, I'll let you play games in War Games at Survivor Series. And then Priest jump-started a brawl again. Cody dove onto a crowd. The crowd's chanting Cody. It's heated. He had Adam Pearce. He had all the agents. He had all the referees. And you had a bunch of security guys. Really nice, chaotic, high-energy scene to close out Raw as Cole goes, imagine what it'll be like inside the cage. I thought WWE did a really good job, you know, just creating that crescendo of energy and excitement for one of the more highly anticipated annual matches now for WWE. Darren, what'd you think?
Yeah, reluctantly, they did a good job considering they kind of end Raw with most of those characters brawling. I believe last week ended in the same thing, kind of, if I'm not mistaken. But it still hooked the crowd, and it was a pretty exciting brawl. I have to give them credit for managing to pull that off still. So, it's, you know, getting to that point where we got to come to a head on this whole feud, though. So it looks like we're getting that at War Games finally, and we can get some kind of resolution and everyone can kind of move on. But still, they managed to keep it fresh, and people are absolutely into it still. So I will give them credit for that. But yeah, it's time to get this going.
Now, this is not a spoiler. This is speculation. But 5-on-5 is a typical format. There are five members of Judgment Day. Well, no, there's four members of Judgment Day and a pledge, JD McDonough, a wannabe, and then Rhea Ripley. Is it wrong? Wait, how many men are there? There's Balor, Dominic, Priest. Oh yeah, so never mind. Okay, well, I still have this question. It works just not as well now that I've done the gender math in my head. Sorry about that. Do they add someone? It's normally 5-on-5. And if they add someone, is Drew McIntyre going to be courted by both groups? Because I thought Drew was going to interfere in the Sami Seth match and sort of turn heel or have a plausible, you know, inconvenient accident that led people to wonder if you know, where his head was at. We didn't get that, but they did underscore a couple times on this show that Drew was, you know, disappointed, despondent, frustrated with how things went at Crown Jewel. Do we see Drew? And if so, who does he agree to side with? I assume he would agree he could turn heel and side with Judgment Day, and that could create a whole internal issue. Or he could be recruited by Cody and Sami and Seth and Jay, and then Judgment Day would have to add somebody. So I don't know. I'm just kind of, again, it's not a spoiler that Drew will be part of this. I have no insight on that, but it did cross my mind. Is he going to fit in on this, and is it really just going to be 4-on-4? Darren, what do you think?
Right, absolutely. I thought that Drew McIntyre was coming in to interfere at the end of the match. I didn't expect a clean finish. I thought we were definitely going to see Drew come in, but we did not. But as far as adding him to the War Games, it would be intriguing if they somehow made the issue which side is he going to be on, because I don't think they would reveal before War Games whose side he's down with. I think that they would lead some kind of mystery that you have to figure out, and that's going to be your hook for War Games. What side is Drew on? I don't know how you accomplish that exactly.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have even sides, but I don't know, maybe make him a referee or something. I don't know. But somehow I think he's going to be involved with the whole brooding and getting to the car to leave and everything. We're definitely going to be seeing him again and probably in this angle. I just wonder how they're going to get him into it.
Maybe the War Games needs a special in-ring enforcer referee, Darren.
That's one way.
I'm just
one way to go. Yes. It was so chaotic tonight that things are so out of control in storyline that that's something that they could do. It's only one man that could, could be strong.
I know. I mean, I said it sort of facetiously, but I mean, you could imagine. I mean, Adam Pearce all frazzled and frenzied and flummoxed, compared to Paul Heyman, and you could end up circa 2018. He stopped doing that, or 2020. So I don't know. I mean, that'd be a heck of a way. You know, Judgment Day's courting Drew, but Drew's a good guy. We understand his frustrations. He was sort of sportsmanlike after losing to Seth at Crown Jewel. Whose side can he be trusted? Yeah, he just wants these guys to settle the score and move on. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Maybe there's a real logical person to team with Judgment Day on the male side, and then Drew would side with Seth and company, but then that could be Drew's turn. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just 4-4. I don't have to we don't have to overthink it either, but that seems like a distinct possibility.
Right. And they also made the point over and over that during the video packages that the rules have evolved for war games, so they could stick with the 4-4-4 and just mention, hey, that's, you know, how the rules have just evolved over time. And you have your out there.
Yes, War Games has not grown a thumb, but lost a thumb. It's just four fingers. Okay, I don't even know. Think of evolution and just trying to figure out a fun little joke. I'm glad you laughed. All right. Seth and Sammy, though, I thought they did a really good job building this up as an unannounced main event on Raw. Having Sammy – okay, so Seth appreciates Sammy. We'll set aside that Sammy interrupted a completely legal cash-in attempt by Priest. Priest did nothing wrong. Priest earned that briefcase. He has a right to cash it in. Sammy stole the briefcase and ran off with it. And now we're supposed to be, happy about it. Cole's congratulating Sammy. So with that sort of logic gap, setting aside somewhat reluctantly, although I brought it up, so, you know, it's out there. By the way, I love it too. Seth's like, I bet Adam Pearce just said, give the briefcase back because it's not yours. And Sammy's like, yep, that's what happened. And I just wondered if that was a dig at the whole MJF Jay White storyline and how ridiculously that's played out, where Jay just gets to keep the title for no reason, even though there are authority figures in AEW who should get it back. But that's for another show. So briefcase is back in Priest's hands. But Seth is so appreciative of Sammy cheating. I mean, I'm trying to think of a better word, you know, interfering in a legal process that there was nothing wrong with it. It's how it works. Seth knows, he's been there. But Seth is so appreciative. He wants to give Sammy a title shot anytime, any place. And Sammy's reluctant to do it now. He wants to be champion someday, but he doesn't want to do it against somebody who's weakened. And Seth is weakened from the match at Crown Jewel. And Seth's like, come on, we're all carrying around injuries. Just pick your time. Basically daring Sammy to choose tonight. And Sammy's like, all right, tonight. So we got that match. I thought it was good that they did that, because if Sammy's a babyface and he goes, I want it tonight, it can make Seth look like a fool because he's so beat up, or Sammy look like an opportunist who's not really a good sport. And so I thought that they told that story well. I mean, it's not perfect logic, because why does Seth, you know, I mean, Seth should covet that title enough to go any week but this week. But, of course, that makes him look bad. I like the touch that Pierce, before making the match official, went up to Seth and said, are you sure? Kind of like in the heat of the moment, did you say something you regret? And I like that touch. There's no way Seth would, of course, you know, go, oh, yeah, I got ahead of myself. And no, I don't, I'm backing away. I mean, he's not going to do that. But it's logical that Pierce, as a member of management, would check with Seth first before making it official. So there was a lot that I liked about this. I mean, it wasn't perfect, because it couldn't be if they wanted this to be the main event. But I thought that they were aware of some issues and addressed them in a pretty good way. And then they built it well throughout the night, and we got a good match. So overall, I liked that sort of intra-show build to the main event. Darren, any thoughts on the build and the match and my thoughts on it?
Yeah, I thought that was a fairly big match for them to give away with no build. That's why I was just almost certain there was going to be a non-finish or someone coming in to interfere at the end. But if you're going to just announce it at the beginning of the show. That's a good way to do it. They built it out throughout, had the little video package showing how Sammy was frustrated back in, I believe it was February or March, when he lost to Roman. So that was an added touch that maybe something could happen here. But they built it well throughout the 3 hours notice that we had for the match. So that's the best you could do on short notice. So yeah, props to them for that. As far as the legal cash-in and the aspect of that, at least they did kind of address that in storyline, that Sammy didn't want to see another bloodline dominance takeover situation. So you could kind of see why he would want to go out and
Sammy,
do that.
Of course, yes, but there's legal ways to do that and illegal ways to do it, and Sammy chose an illegal way. That's my only point. I'm just saying,
right.
You know, I mean, there's, you know, if you don't like that your neighbor is not, I don't know, like letting his leaves blow onto your lawn after you just raked the yard, seasonal reference here. That doesn't mean you get to, like, you know, slash his tires to prevent him. I don't know if that doesn't work, but you know what I mean? You don't get to break his rakes, you know, in retaliation, something related to it. I mean, you just, there's other ways to solve things. So, I mean,
right.
Again, not a big deal because Judgment Day aren't the most sympathetic crew. I'm just pointing that out.
Right.
But no, they're definitely what you're right in this sense. There was a motivation for Sammy to do what he did. And Sammy's normally a bit of a rule follower. Let's work within the system. He fights against people who don't. This was working against the system a little bit. So, you know, it didn't go unnoticed by me, but I don't think too many people resent Sammy for it.
Right. Well, sometimes you have to sink to the Judgment Day's level.
Yes. Yes. And that is obviously why fans and Michael Cole even are just fine with this. Okay. Let's pause. Let's introduce ourselves formally here, and then we'll get on with the show, including, I believe we have our on-site correspondent waiting for us already. Yeah, so this is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, November 6, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, editor, publisher, and founder of the long-running Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and the website pwtorch.com, and the host of a bunch of podcasts throughout the week covering a bunch of subjects with different co-hosts and formats. You're going to get all of them with a VIP membership at pwtorch.com/govip. It is compatible directly with your iPhone podcast app. You can also sign up through Patreon, credit card, debit card, or PayPal, pwtorch.com/govip. When you become a VIP member, these shows become ad-free, so you don't have to listen to ads, and the pre-recorded in-house plugs also, those are edited out. So lots of cool benefits. We are here on the Post Show Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays with live streams. You can find us at WadeKellerPostShow.com about 5 minutes after Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision end. You can find a direct link to the live stream at pwtorch.com in my TV reports, where I cover the shows in written format with analysis every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday with rare exception. So hope you're checking out pwtorch.com TV reports, and that is where you can find a link and also the phone number and email if you'd like to participate. Speaking of which, you are invited to participate in tonight's show. If you are listening to us live, the number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call push 1 on your keypad, that flags you on the switchboard so we know that you want to be on the show. Now, you can also email us, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. The other voice here on the show so far is Darren Lilly. He is a PW Torch contributor. He hosts a VIP exclusive Impact podcast, and also covers Impact TV shows and Impact special events and pay-per-views. Darren, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. And I did want to point out one thing that on last week's Raw Post Show that you did point out, the whole sports washing aspect of the Crown Jewel show. And I appreciate that you mentioned that because, you know, that kind of gets to me. Every time that they had one of these shows, and I don't want to get on a big tirade or anything, but I mean, the points that you brought up were very good, very valid. I'm just glad that you pointed that kind of stuff out. I think more people need to mention that. I think it's overlooked, and they're just getting more, you know, proud of mentioning Saudi Arabia and like the commercial that you made. I didn't watch the show itself, but I did hear your recap and where they plugged the airline and stuff and Vince McMahon saying that this is our home now, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Someone I just wish would just go away. But yeah, that stuff really bothers me, and I'm glad that you pointed that out.
I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, they feel emboldened because, you know, so many people are going there now, and we're years away from the Jamal Khashoggi slaughter. But, you know, it's still it just when it comes across like it's a tourist infomercial, which it's felt like Saturday. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they're, you know, Saudi Arabia's not paying for a wrestling show. As Brandon Thurston pointed out on Twitter, they're, you know, with his numbers, they're just, you know, grotesquely overpaying compared to, like, you know, WrestleMania and how much revenue's earned in WrestleMania tickets there.
Sure.
For these shows, because it is an infomercial to try to, sports wash a regime that has not progressed to the point that it deserves this kind of, just glowing endorsement from pop culture trusted media entities then now forever together. So, yeah, I'm for Saudi Arabia moving along, and I know that there's some influence that can be gained from, you know, being accepted and then having those corporations hold them more accountable. But, you know, can we count on that to happen? And should other things happen first? No and yes. So,
right.
We'll go from there. All right. Let's go to our first caller of the day. We actually don't have our outside correspondent yet, but we do have Brad from Florida. Brad, you're first up. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Darren. Hey, Wade. And I can't wait to hear from that on-site caller. But, to me, this was tonight's Raw was better than Crown Jewel. And that's just my opinion. You know, I found it to be start to finish really, really good. You know, to me, and this is just a question to both of you guys on the ending. By the way, really quick, as I'm just about to get on with you. Triple H put out the poster for War Games. He tweeted it literally like 7 minutes ago. It's Cody Rhodes in like war paint. Did you see this?
No. Haven't seen
it yet. Cody Rhodes' face with like green, like Incredible Hulk makeup on.
Oh, now
and,
I'm
like,
looking
browns.
At it. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, based on the way they set up the War Games thing at the end, but do you think because War Games is traditionally 5-on-5 and this is now 4-on-4, you four want to play games, I mean, I know this is rampant speculation, but does this open up the door for a Drew McIntyre joining Judgment Day and then a mystery fifth person for the Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn side, which – I mean, if CM Punk was going to come back, I would imagine that would be a perfect four to pair him with. Cody, Sammy, Seth, and Jey Uso. I mean, that would really make a lot of sense. almost too much. I mean, do you think this ends up being 5-on-5? And do you think that based on what we're seeing that Drew will join Judgment Day and that will probably be the scenario.
Except for the CM Punk part, Brad, great minds think alike, and you're going to love the first 6 minutes of our show. That's all we talked about is will Drew be involved in this match? And I don't know, but I think it's right there, worthy of speculation. The other thing, and I this is actually where I thought you might be heading when you brought that up, and I don't think they'll do this, but they could do another – they could do 4-on-4-on-4. Somehow, if they're going to not do 5-on-5, I could you imagine 12 people in it and a bloodline ends up involved? I don't think they would, for all kinds of reasons. I don't think they'd do that, but that's where I thought you were heading is like, well, if they only do 4-on-4, rules are evolving. Could we see another faction get involved? But, that would be hard to follow. And I think a mess. I'm not in favor of that. The CM Punk thing. I mean, it's intriguing. I mean, you know, Punk threw out the clue. WWE's pushed back, which, you know, I mean, Chris Jericho's done it. You know, he's like, oh, I'm not going to do this. And when the plan was for him to do it, because he wanted it to, quote, be more of a surprise. And I'm more for people lying to hide a secret than leaking secrets and spoiling the fun. That said, I don't think Punk is going to be part of this. And, I mean, it'd be a hell of a pop, obviously, and a great circumstance and a lot of ways to do it. You'd also be giving away a lot of Punk out of the gate, you know, teaming with a bunch of people and fighting a bunch of people. But it would set him up for big matches, you know, pretty instantly, depending on what story they told in the ring in that match. Yeah, I mean, I'm pausing just to imagine the crowd reaction if Punk came out, especially if it was like a late addition to the match, and then what would happen during his ring entrance. Darren, what do you think about Brad throwing CM Punk's name out there as that person we were wondering if Drew teams with, say, Judgment Day, or perhaps Drew teams with the good guys, and Punk starts as a heel, and then they do a double turn with Drew and Punk during the match. Go ahead, Darren. What do you think?
I had not been thinking that way. I just don't think that they would bring Punk in this situation. Yeah, it would be good for the short-term pop, but I think that's just something that they would tease and drop you little hints and then start him off with an interview. I don't think they would just throw him in right in a match immediately. I can't see it happening. It's an intriguing scenario, definitely,
yeah.
And this is the right place to have it. I just don't see it happening. And also, you have to kind of rush, and I don't want to say rush the Drew turn because this has been going on, but the last aspect of it, you would kind of be rushing because you only have 2 weeks to get that done. So I just don't see it happening.
Brad, it's a fun scenario to play out, but I think the way WWE, I don't know. I mean, they'd really have to be throwing a lot of decoys at us or false narratives, because I don't know that they trust Punk and covet Punk in that way to drop him into the middle of a situation where things are working so well. Like, I mean, the Cody chants are so strong right now. And I just think they like who they have. I mean, I think it's sort of like a trade deadline. Do you like your team and you want to go into the playoffs with them, or do you need to add someone? And does adding someone mess with the chemistry, not just in the locker room, which of course could be an issue with Punk. He'd like to prove them wrong and say it was AEW's fault, not mine. But it also might mess with fan perception of who the biggest star is in that match. And I think they want to tell the Cody story with Jay, and Sammy and Seth complicates things enough. So my thinking is they think they've built a really good roster and a really good top War Games warrant for situation, and they wouldn't think they need Punk to add a spark, and they would save Punk for another time. But I say all that not ruling it out, because it's Chicago and you got Drew and then an empty spot, and maybe they could make it work in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
One other note is that if you bring Punk in that way, he becomes your centerpiece guy, and then all of a sudden, Cody's your background guy.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to give him that role. He's somebody you definitely want to keep on a short leash and not build your whole show around. There's no need to do that.
Exactly. That's the thing. I don't think they want Cody to be one-upped in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they ended with Cody. I mean, Cody's is popular or more popular than CM Punk was in AEW. I mean, it's just it's working. You know, why add this combustible X factor that it's like if you're whatever the trade deadline, if you're 10-0 going into trade deadline in an NFL season, do you really want to shake things up so that you can be 17-0 when you might be 17-0 anyway? I mean, things are going well. So I just don't think they want to add the combustible element. And, you know, unless Punk and Levesque have had like really good heart to hearts and have, you know, become the friends that I initially predicted they would when Punk first went to the main roster. And I was wrong on that. Unless that happened, I don't think Levesque wants to mess with things. Anyway, Brad, back to you.
Yeah. And the only other person that I could think to complete the five would be Randy Orton, which would get a gigantic pop.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Chicago didn't get CM Punk, I think Randy Orton would be, I don't even want to call him a consolation prize, but my only problem with Randy Orton being on that team and being that fifth person is that Jey Uso is the one who ended his career on television, at least. Not ended his career, I shouldn't say, but took him out for a year and a half. Jey Uso is the one who, you know, they basically ended RK-Bro. After that tag team championship match, whatever it was, I forget the exact scenario, but, you know, they did the put Randy through the table and the whole thing, and that was it. So, love the idea of Randy coming back. Like, yeah, Jay, I'm cool with you, you know?
Well, here's a scenario. Randy joins Judgment Day. Drew joins Team Seth, whoever the leader is. He's the world champ, or is it Team Cody? But you get a double turn in the match. And you know, something happens where Drew turns, and then Randy's like, I don't want any part of this, and he sides. And then, you know, Jay kind of gives him a look, and Randy gives him a look, and they turn away from each other, and they go, we'll deal with that later, but we have common enemies bringing us together. I mean, Orton would be a better choice than Punk in the it would get in the way of Cody being the star of the show, because, you know, it's Randy, and he's not Punk. He's different. He's a legacy star with a history with Cody, speaking of legacy, but he's not somebody who you would like look at and say, oh, he's going to become more popular than Cody. He'd be a really good supporting player. Darren, what do you think of Randy coming back as we continue to try to wedge a fifth member onto each team here?
Right. I think he's much more likely than CM Punk. I would not mind seeing Randy come out to make a save or something like that, even if you don't officially add him as a fifth member to whichever team. Him coming out to make a save, I think, is perfect, or coming out to give someone an RKO out of nowhere to, if you're going to have him go up against Cody's team, perhaps. That's much more likely. And then you can just spin Orton off onto his own thing. People are happy to see him back, but he's not overshadowing the whole Seth thing, the whole Cody thing. So I think they would go that direction of the two if they were just had to do one of the two.
Yeah, Brad, cool idea.
I mean,
something to chew on and think about.
The last thing I just want to say about this is, like, if Randy were to come back and they did somehow make it on an episode of Raw, like right before Survivor Series, maybe, you know, the week before or whatever, and, you know, there was the four of them were in the ring, Randy comes out, and he's like, Cody, you know, I'm cool with you, Seth, but you, and he's pointing at Jey Uso, you know, like, and they kind of have it out, but they end up, I don't want to say being friends, but being able to work with each other in some way. I think that would be the only way it would work, because I don't know, but I don't know if they want to save that for the PLE, but Survivor Series feels this year like it's going to be enormous. It feels like it's going to be very consequential, and it just feels way different from last year even. Otherwise, I just thought tonight's show was really good. I thought, you know, the beginning segment, by the way, really quick, with that beginning segment, the only reason I even thought of CM Punk is because Cold said, like, look at Sami Zayn. He's looking into the eyes of Seth Rollins. Or he said something like, look in my eyes, which is, you know, the CM Punk song. I know that they were doing that when Cody came back, a lot of hints, you know, he's dashed the hopes of Seth Rollins, you know, all these different little things that they say. So I don't know. He did say that, though, and maybe it's just coincidence. Yeah. I don't know. Regardless, what did you guys think of Zoe winning the Women's Battle Royal? I thought it was
I called it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great call. Tell me what you guys thought of that.
No,
even another legitimate option? Was there another option? Raquel a real option?
I mean, I think everybody else was an option. not everybody in the Battle Royal, but like anybody who, you know, would be at the top, who would be considered in the realm, seemed like options. I wouldn't have been shocked if Nia Jax won and Rhea beat her one-on-one. I wouldn't have been surprised at all. I mean, they kind of went that direction in the build anyway, to the five-way. It's an interesting choice. It's a choice that tells me they know that this show is going to be sold on other matches than that match. Mm-hmm. But it gives Ripley a chance to get a win. Zoe sort of – I don't know. Are Zoe and Shayna babyfaces or tweeners? Like, they're kind of in their own zone. How would you classify them, Darren?
They haven't really been established as either. I think they're heels, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah.
So I guess it's a heel against heel match. But as far as a match, I like it. Again, you can have a lower opponent because we know that the big feud is going to be Rhea against Becky, but that's way off in March, so you got to have somebody to fill in. And this is fine. You got enough other stuff to carry it. People will be happy to just see Rhea hit all her moves, see her entrance, and she'll get a clean win, and that's fine. It'll keep it short. I'm sure you're not going to see a 20-minute classic or anything. It'll be 5 minutes, and it'll help elevate Zoe Stark if that's what they are going to choose to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for Zoe. I mean, they like her. I don't think she's been super protected, but it's a bit of a surprise. I did like that they knocked Becky out of the match and gave her a new feud because you don't want her to lose a battle royal. And now they've given her a reason to not be in that match, even though they teased it. I thought they did a good job building that battle royal up. Like, the Natalya video made you think maybe she wins. I mean, just those little touches of promos and videos and announcers framing it in a certain way, they created a sense that they did the things for various wrestlers to win, but they did it for a handful. So it added a little more drama to the match. It, you know, AW did their battle royal, and the only person who got a promo besides Juice was Dustin. You know, it's like, no, make us think there's five or six people who might win, especially when you telegraph Juice's win so much. This is a case where it wasn't telegraphed, and then if you're thinking, well, you know, Becky should be the favorite, she's the biggest star, they wrote her out in a way that was, you know, logical in the sense of saving that for later and pivoting to a grudge feud now. Darren, any thoughts on the build or hype for the match?
No, nothing really add.
Yeah. Brett, anything else you want to bring up?
Okay, very last thing, Miz. I loved that four-way match. I loved it. I was really on the edge of my seat, and it takes a lot. Like, I thought that four-way match was, like, as good as a Raw, like, you know, one of those type of things could possibly be. Like, it was almost like pay-per-view level to me. Ivar was so impressive. I mean, he has been impressive the last few weeks, but I just wish he would take off that stupid Viking costume and just, like, be something else. But other than that, like, the moves that he can do and the things that he can do is really remarkable for a big man, almost overshadowing what Reed could do, because Reed and him are, like, similar body types, like, similar type of thing going on. But I just thought it was great. And The Miz, it's weird, like, organically, the crowd just started – really, really rooting for him. It's not like he did anything different. It's not like he came out slapping five to the fans and, you know, he did his jerky spin and his cocky everything and rubbing his face and everything, but he just got the fans behind him, which was really cool to see. And the way that they accomplished the win with the double pin and the kick out, I just thought it was really well done and really fun to me. And I just want your guys' thoughts on that, and can't wait to hear the rest of your show, and thanks for all the time.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Yeah. I thought they did a really nice job framing Miz as somebody who we know he's been a loser. We know he's been, you know, just not a main event guy, and it's kind of hard to get behind someone who's been so obnoxious and on a losing streak. But they're like, you know what? Gunther created a spark in Miz and got him to approach things differently. And they're like, I haven't seen him this good in years. I mean, they told the story that you should look at Miz through a different lens. And then Cole talked about a standing ovation for Miz, and they showed the crowd, and I didn't see a lot of people standing, but there probably were some, but you know, you got to watch, you know, don't gaslight us, Michael Cole, trying to get the point over. I'm not ruling out they didn't pipe in some things, but the crowd was cheering and they were behind Miz, and I'm not shocked by that. This is a crowd that's cheering John Cena, and they used to boo him. So, you know, today's WWE audience is for legacy stars who have entertained them for a very long time. And I think that's what's going on here. Darren, what do you think of the Miz turn?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the match, and then the highlight of that was the reaction to the Miz. So I was kind of surprised that they're getting behind him like that. But very good point that this is an indication of that audience that is into these legacy people. And so they want to give Miz his props, and this is a good opportunity. I didn't suspect fans were itching to cheer him, but apparently they wanted to do that. And I think he's rising to the occasion. I think that'll be a fun feud. With him going after the Intercontinental title, I don't think he's going to take it. I think he would be a poor choice to give it to, but I could see the people getting behind him and maybe keeping him face for a while. He had a little face turn a while back. I forgot who was it against Orton or somebody like that. And I don't think the people are as enthusiastic as they were in this match. So this is a good indication. I'm very impressed with Ivar. He's really coming into his own with some of these, the feud with the New Day, and then he was very impressive tonight. I just wish he wasn't stuck with the name. I think kind of limits his ceiling a little bit. I mean, but he's somebody you can work with, and he was maybe the MVP of that match. He's very good, and I was impressed.
And they pointed that out, you know, that they were touting his performances since Eric went down and out with surgery. It was a good match. I'm assuming Gunther beats Miz and fans are sad, and then Miz goes on to something else that's a little lower on the card than IC title level, but as a babyface, and that's fine. You know, I mean, it freshens up Miz, whose act, you know, got a bit stale. And so this allows fans to see him in a different light. He can use his acerbic charisma against heels instead. All right.
He'll do a gimmick where he claims to be the fan scumbag.
Oh, God. All right. Our number, if you want to join us, is 347-215-8558 when you call push 1. You can email us instead, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. We'll get to some emails in a bit. But first up, we got our on-site correspondent, Ryan, from Cumberland. Ryan, welcome. How was Raw tonight? Did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I enjoyed the show. I was wondering if the any CM Punk chants came up on air. There's this one guy that was chanting real loud, and the fans were chanting then back, he sucks. So you might have heard sucks.
No, I didn't hear CM Punk chants. Did you, Darren?
I didn't hear any.
So the sucks, Ryan, the sucks were louder than CM Punk?
Yeah, I think there was only like one or two. Well, at during the Cesaro match, there were a few chants for CM Punk. But towards the main event, there was this one guy chanting it, then everyone else was just yelling, sucks, after he yelled it. So I didn't have that made the TV or
no. It would not shock me. We were talking about CM Punk earlier as a possible addition to War Games if Drew got added too, Ryan. I could imagine fans cheering Cody and booing Punk. Like, I could see people seeing Punk as this guy who chose AEW, and when AEW rejected them, he went crawling to WWE because he wants to revalidate himself. And the fans are like, not on our time. We're not validating you. I'm not casting judgment whether it'd be fair or not, but I wouldn't rule it out that fans would say, no, we got our guys and you're not one of them anymore. But you know, that could work in Punk's favor. Then it could be a heel. But based on what you just said, Ryan, you know, I mean, it's just one crowd and a handful of fans, but it's possible. That's a sign of fans not just waiting with bated breath to chant CM Punk in large numbers. So Ryan, let me ask how the crowd was overall tonight. Did it seem like they were into the show, like it was a hot show and the product was over and the crowd was into the stories, the matches and the wrestlers? Did it come across as a hot product, or did it seem a little cool? Go ahead.
To me, it wasn't as hot as when SmackDown came to Wilkes-Barre, like earlier in the year. That was for the big Roman Reigns show for the celebration. I thought they were a little bit, it was also more filled up to the arena, so that helped. But I just thought the fans were a little bit more excited for that shit than this show.
Darren, do you want to jump in with a question for Ryan? Yeah.
Oh, cool. Was it a sellout?
Not even close.
Empty like seat sections or anything.
There were lots of empty seats. If you look, like not on TV, but where like the camera side was, most of the seats were empty towards that side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's because they're expensive.
Yeah, as of this.
Or...
As of this morning, WrestleTix had them at 7,219 sold. The building was set up for about 7,400. Mm. So for the tickets that they were made available, they were going to, you know, sell out, so to speak. But it holds more because last time they were there in June, they drew almost 7,600. So they had it set up for a smaller crowd just based on advanced sales, and that's kind of how that works. But it was a really good crowd. I mean, it wasn't like sparse, Ryan, even if every seat wasn't full, right?
Well, when Raw came last year, they only had 4,500, so they had about 3,000 more for the show.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so, Ryan, who stood out as the most popular of the show? Certainly Cody got chance at the end. Jay got a pop. Sammy got a pop. Seth got a pop. You know, Becky had a ring entrance before she was attacked. On and on. Was there a runaway most popular or a handful who are all kind of in the same high-end group?
Well, it's between Sammy. They like to do the Ole chant for him, and Seth, they just like to sing his song. Those were the two most ever tonight as far as crowd reaction. Those really stuck out way above everyone else, those two.
Oh, was there any match that disappointed you or disappointed the crowd that just felt flat or that the crowd kind of lost their energy for?
I think probably the Tazawa match, because that was when the CM Punk chant started a little bit. They were a lot louder. You know, they didn't.
For the what match? Ryan? Ryan, I can't. Can you hear me, Darren? I want to be sure my...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Ryan, are you there? Did you mute or did we lose your signal? I lost Ryan's signal. Do you know what match he was talking about?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I couldn't pick up on it either. Ryan, I'm going to hang up and have you call us back. Try to reestablish a fresh call here. Okay, so let's, as we see if he gives us a call back, and I'm stalling for a couple seconds. Just, he ain't called already, so let's try this again. Hey, Ryan, can you hear us now?
Yes, somehow I got cut off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Good to have you back. So what match were you saying the CM Punk chant took place in?
The Tozawa Nakamura match is when the CM Punk
gotcha.
Chant
Gotcha. And, you know, Nakamura has been saying he wants someone to step up. Who's it going to be? And I saw Jake Barnett on Twitter speculating about this and others. You know, could ultimately the payoff be Punk stepping up? And that might make more storyline sense. I shouldn't say more. It would be a different story they would tell for him to show up as a babyface against Nakamura, although you could end up with a crowd cheering Shinsuke and booing Punk too. But the fact that it happened during that match could have been out of boredom, but it also could have been some fans are thinking along those lines of, you know, once he's done with Tozawa and Otis, hey, how about Punk go? You want a challenge? I've got one, especially with Nakamura doing CM Punk's move. Darren, did that jump out to you at all?
I could see that perhaps happening. If you were going to bring Punk in, that's at the level of somebody that is, instead of just bringing him in for main events. Yeah, I could see him feuding with Nakamura. That would be a good entry point to see how things go, to see how fans are reacting, to see how Punk reacts, see how the locker room situation is. So,
right.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, that would be ideal. I still don't even see that happening necessarily,
right.
But
yeah.
If you're going to do it, that would be the best way. And did he kind of drop that aspect of, it looks like he's going into a feud with the Alpha Academy now,
yeah.
And
yeah.
They've kind of dropped that aspect, is the impression I got.
I mean, I don't know if they have to air the vignette every week for it to still be alive and something that they
mm-hmm.
might do. But, Otis certainly is next week. But that doesn't mean Punk can't show up still after that, either before Survivor Series or at a later time. All right, Ryan, during the Women's Battle Royal, did the crowd stay engaged in that? And, I mean, it was like, 15-plus minutes. I thought it was a good Battle Royal, but we had a commercial break in the middle. Did it hold fan interest for people into the various kind of subplots of that match?
Yeah, I think people were very interested in Nikki Cross staring at Michael Cole. So I don't know if that's going to be a big storyline because a lot of people were drawing attention to that during the Battle Royal.
I get a kick out of Nikki. I just her staring and getting eliminated and then just standing in front of Cole and Bear the whole match. Cole going, "You attract weird people, Wade Barrett," which I'm like, oh. There's some insight into Wade Barrett off camera, apparently, for Michael Cole. Yeah, I get a kick out of Nikki's character. Were there any women who jumped out as being especially, like, crowd being really behind them during their spotlight moments of the match, Ren?
I don't think so. I think people were disappointed Becky got taken out early because people were saying, oh, she can
right.
go, I'll let her fight. I think there was a big let her fight chant when she got knocked out.
How about the Creed Brothers and DIY? Talk about the crowd reaction for that and if the crowd was into that match. I mean, it went just under 10 minutes, but, good hard-hitting tag match that feels like, we'll see that. It seems like we'll see more of that and people would want to see more of it, but how'd the crowd react, especially to the new act, the Creed Brothers? Although DIY are kind of new to the main roster too, even as a team at least.
I think the Brodus Ball is over in itself because I heard people getting excited when he did that on the apron. But I would like the Creed Brothers to get a bigger reaction than what they've been getting. Like, so I don't think they got a super reaction.
Yeah. Darren, do you want to bring anything else up? Any other questions for Ryan?
Yeah. Were there any NXT people that were at the main event taping or any dark matches?
Yeah. Metaphor wrestled a match against Indusheer. They put in a good fight against Indusheer, but they were no match for the Giants. Jinder was in their corner too, and Metaphor had their whole posse with them. So that was sort of entertaining match.
Cool.
Did anything happen after Raw went off here?
Cody shook hands with Seth. I don't know if you saw that or not. Seth was real hesitant, to do it. It took him like a minute or two to do it. But I don't know if that was – I don't know when it got cut off. So maybe you can shed light on if that was something you saw.
No.
You said who shook hands? With whom? We thought Sammy and Seth shook hands.
It was Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes shook hands.
Cody sounded like Teddy to me when you said it, so I was confused. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that was after Raw, right, Darren?
Right. Right. Yeah. They didn't air that.
Did they have any dark match that you stuck around for, or is it just handshake and thanks and bye?
They were teasing the Judgment Day was going to have an 8-man tag, but they backed out that match. And
Stuff
to give a speech to Cody saying, let's put our differences aside, and that's when they shook hands, thought about it for a couple of minutes.
I could imagine them putting that on social media and showing a clip of that on Raw next week, too. It wouldn't shock me if they just said, hey, some people are wondering, can these two coexist? And with what things that have happened, will they be able to be on the same page? And look, they after Raw went off the air, this happened. That seems like something I could imagine them rolling the tape for and showing.
I got a question for you, Wade. Did you notice if Natalya was hurt during that battle royal because she went through the crowd and one of the security guards helped her back to the section, where the camera wouldn't see her being taken back to the back?
I didn't notice, but Darren, did you notice that?
Who did you say was taken back?
Natalya.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that on television at all. Maybe she was supposed to win.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. No, I didn't notice anything. I think it was Niall who eliminated Natalya. And I don't think that was after an injury. So that just seems like that was part of the story they were telling of Niall getting a bunch of eliminations. So it doesn't seem like. Yeah. I mean, with the video, like it crossed my mind like it did yours, Darren, that maybe that, Stark was a late call because Natalya got hurt. But I'd have to rewatch to see if it looked like Natalya, like, said, I'm hurt, eliminate me. So I'd have to review the tape for that.
Yeah, I don't think
Ryan, anything else?
It only took one security guard to get her back, so hopefully it's not too serious of an injury if she was hurt.
Ryan, we've asked you a lot of questions. Is there anything from your experience at the show tonight you want to share with us that we didn't ask you about?
Ludwig Kaiser picked up a victory over Apollo Crews. I don't know if Apollo is in danger of being cut with the list of wrestlers that have already been cut because he won clean with a DDT tonight.
Yeah, Apollo seems like he's not in for a big push, but we can look forward to him in AEW in like a year and a half. Ryan, anything else for us?
I think that's everything. I did have trouble getting in. Eventually, they did let me in. I guess my Ticketmaster app failed me, but I always have problems with Ticketmaster, so I got the souvenir ticket taken.
What went wrong? I don't understand.
It said my Ticketmaster account had been compromised. It wasn't allowing me to access my account. I did have it in my wallet, but I guess you can't scan your wallet ticket that's in your phone.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, change your password, Ryan. Password 1 is not a good password.
I think it has more to do with me having it on my laptop computer, and it got confused having set up on both my phone and laptop.
Well, what's your password? I mean, let's see if it's complicated. Karen, stop it. Brian, what's your password? We got to figure out if you made it difficult enough or not to hide from people hacking.
Well, I can't give it away on Pro Wrestling Torch.
Oh, that's right. That would defeat the purpose. You're right. All right. Yeah, just send it to me privately. I promise to take the service. That wasn't me who messed with your ticket. All right, Ryan, I'm giving you a hard time. Thank you for calling and sharing your experience at the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan is savvy enough to know better. Had he done that, I promise, I would not have left that in the show. And I would have told Ryan, change your password now. Yeah, because there's people listening live, too, and they could just immediately try to log in, although we don't know his username. So
well, that's true.
Ryan from Cumberland hopefully is not his username, because that's what he's known as on the show. Cool. Okay. If you want to be an on-site correspondent, we'd love for you to be our on-site correspondent. Drop me a line, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. If you're attending a future Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, or Collision, let me know, and we'll give you details on how to be an on-site correspondent like Ryan was tonight. You can still give us a call if you'd like, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558 when you call push 1. Or Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. All right, let's jump to the mailbag and go to Azan from St. Louis, a regular emailer. Good to hear from you, Azan. What are some ways you might change the New Day gimmick? just such a loaded question for me. Darren, they lost tonight. It is, it kind of defines them out of the title contention picture, losing a non-title match. Thank you, Wade Barrett, for calling it non-title and not whatever they were called. Was it championship contenders match? Was that what they were calling it?
Yeah, I think so.
A year ago. So Vince McMahon is gone, and we don't have to deal with that line. Well, he's not gone, but he's away from creative input and headsets. Damian and Finn win in under 10 minutes. Pretty clean. I mean, Balor interfered with a kick from ringside, but it still was, pretty decisive loss, I guess. Did you read into that? And Darren, I'll throw to you first. What would you do to change or update New Day's gimmick, if anything?
I've actually thought of that, and it's a tough one because they're kind of a legacy act as well, but you've got to do something to freshen them up. I don't know, maybe change to the power of negativity. That would add a little spark, perhaps. But it will have to be a wholesale change. I don't necessarily know if just like a simple heel turn, because they're kind of healed now with Xavier Woods, where he comes out holding the microphone sideways and insulting people. So they're kind of already halfway there. So I don't know. It just had to be an overhaul of like the colors, the outfits, and all that kind of. I'm not sure. It's a big problem. I still think they have a lot to offer, but I'm just not sure what you can do to freshen up the act. Sometimes you, I don't know, you just, you can send in the NXT, which they kind of did, though. And maybe that's their best option, is to get in a program in NXT and kind of freshen up that way.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, I have smart-ass answers, but I don't have anything genuinely that I don't know. I mean, I'm just, yeah, break them up and send one to NXT and another to main event tapings. I don't know. Keep them away for a while. Yeah, I just, it feels stale, and I think Xavier's still into it, and Kofi just looks like he's dying inside every time he has to do it. But I'm just could be totally wrong on that. But Xavier just seems to think he's the latest, greatest, coolest thing going with that facial expression and trombone playing. Anyway, all right, Azan. You also ask, what happened with Raw versus SmackDown, and where has Jade Cargill been lately? Well, she was everywhere for a while. It's not like she's like that disappeared. But yeah, I mean, you know, she's wasn't around tonight. Raw versus SmackDown, if they don't do it, I'm happy. Are there any hints of that happening now, Darren? That, like, do you think we're going to avoid that, or will there be kind of a lower card thing where it's all this is Army against Pierce's, or Pierce's, I can't come up with a team name. Thinking of the AWA Team Challenge series.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, you know, and Baron Von Raschke's, I can't remember any of them right now. Now I want to look those up.
Baron's Bruisers or something.
Yeah.
What was Sergeant Slaughter's team?
Let's look this up. I can't go on. I cannot go on. Baron's Blitzers. Okay. Larry Zbyszko had Larry's Legends.
Oh.
Sergeant Slaughter was Sergeant Snipers.
It's aggressive.
I know. It's not. I don't know how I feel about that.
Wasn't it just three teams though?
That's what I was wondering. I guess maybe so. I would have thought there were more, but maybe it was just those three.
I thought it was just three.
Yeah. Well, there it is. I think then you're right. I mean, it was innovative and, industry changing. Industry changing. AWA was trying to stay relevant with some stars, you know, leading factions and teams that had lesser names underneath. But yeah, we won't go down that road, but you can look if you'd like. As a AWA fan growing up, seeing them, you know, at the tail end of the glory period, and then you know, the rise of Hulkamania in the AWA, predating WWF, and then Stan Hansen and the Road Warrior era, and then the Rocker, Buddy Rose, Doug Summers, Larry Zbyszko era, and then there was the Team Challenge Series era. Yeah, and those were the dying days.
It was, and then Sergeant Slaughter left, and so it's like, well, what do they do now? Built the whole league around this Challenge Series, and this guy's gone. It just fell apart.
Yes. But I'm going to be happy if we don't get Aldis and Pierce assembling teams. But, I mean, if it's some lower card acts and Aldis assembles some, you know, mid-card heels and Pierce some mid-card baby faces, and they kind of have it out with some sort of, you know, some Dynamite Diamond Ring type prize on the line. I mean, it won't ruin the show. I just don't want it in the main event. And I don't want people being loyal to their show who are teaming together who are otherwise enemies. But you know what? I think Paul Levesque understands that, and I trust him not to do it in that way. I do at this point, so don't prove me wrong.
Now, one opening is, are they going to do a women's war game match? And if they do, they could do Raw against SmackDown, because I don't see any multi-person feud on the women's side, so they could do it there, but I don't see why you'd want to shoehorn that in either.
Yeah,
it seems like they kind of dropped it because the thing where Pierce got kicked out off of SmackDown, I haven't seen much follow-up since then, unless I'm mistaken, so hopefully they've dropped it. Yeah,
he dropped his name today when he signed the Creed Brothers. He's like, you'll do better here than if you signed here on the flagship than if you signed with SmackDown. So they're keeping it alive without just, you know, being incessant about it, which is good. Okay. Matt from South Carolina says, watching tonight, I had a thought about WWE and AEW programs. When I watch WWE, I feel like I'm pulled into the WWE universe and everything interconnects. It even makes me feel the wrestlers actually do walk around backstage. So that was another example. It's like a TV show versus a sporting event. When I watch AEW programs, I feel a lot of the time like I'm watching a live version of a house show with an interview sprinkled in and maybe a pre-recorded video. I'm not saying one's better than the other. People all have different opinions on that, but it's just a thought I wanted to share. Darren, how do you characterize the different vibe? Where I thought he was going, an issue with the email is when you watch WWE, everything feels self-contained within the world they create. And with AEW, there's these references to all these other wrestling companies in Mexico and Japan and Impact for a while and Indies. And then there's all the references to the internet and social media storylines. So AEW feels like it's part of something larger, where WWE feels like it's more of a self-contained world that they create. And both have their merits when executed well, and both when they're executed poorly can be annoying in their own unique ways. How do you feel about that comparison and what Matt brought up and kind of my interpretation of it?
That's valid, definitely. WWE is very isolated in its own little world, its own universe, you could say. And very storyline driven, whereas AEW, and this is a very broad statement, is just match driven with less coherent storylines, perhaps. I mean, sure, of course they do for like your main angles and stuff, but then you get to like Rampage and it's kind of just matches seemingly just thrown out there. And I noticed that Rampage, speaking of which, it kind of dipped below 300,000 this week.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to do storylines on that show with some of the people that aren't being utilized, and you just, you know, get someone to book that show to have self-contained storylines, kind of like an NXT where you take some of the younger guys and put them in some interesting scenarios and build to matches. And I mean, you couldn't do worse than, sure, there's some good matches on Rampage, but there's no story behind them. I mean, they had like an excellent match last week, but it was just kind of thrown out there, unfortunately. So you don't have any emotional attachment to seeing it was the match that had Penta in it, is what I'm thinking of. And there was actually another good match on there, too. The Daniel Garcia match. But you got to have a story behind those. And I just think it would work better if you just made Rampage kind of self-contained and had some of the people that's not in the main event and something like that.
What it reminds me of, and while I'm skeptical of that working, not that that's not an upgrade from what they're doing, is 205 Live. 205 Live had its own roster, its own internal storylines, and nobody watched. You know, a small number watched compared to the main shows. If a show is designated a minor league show, there's just, by definition, a certain percentage who will skip it. There will certainly be people who are like, hey, I want to see this. It's a great show. There's great wrestling, and I watch everything AEW puts out. And you'll have a certain percentage. But that number's shrinking. I did the numbers last week in my report at pwtorch.com and noted they're down 48,000 viewers from since Collision started compared to what you would predict they would be at otherwise based on last year during the same time period. Collision has really taken away viewership from Collision, but it's also taken away the sense of it's the third hour of AEW. Rampage is now the fifth hour of AEW. It's fifth out of five. And that's hard to fix by telling a story with, you know, a better story with QT Marshall or, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like some of the lowest of low-end people. It's better to tell a good storyline. It's better to be self-contained than just feel like leftovers or afterthoughts. But even that's, I don't know if that's enough. I mean, you know, I made a pitch last week. I think they should cancel Collision and just concentrate on Dynamite. And try to get that back on track. But, you know, I doubt that's going to happen. But, yeah, Rampage sure doesn't feel essential. But I don't know what the best solution is. I don't know that I want to be in the business of trying to fix the fifth hour of AEW television when I think they should only have two or three or four, but certainly not five. It just feels like you're trying to fix something that is sort of unfixable. It's a late night times. I mean, they could on Dynamite save a really big match for Rampage and with their top people, and I'm sure that would boost ratings, but you're spending a top match that instead should probably be on Dynamite or Collision, which is more of a primetime show. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big dilemma that they're running into. And this is bound to happen with just the sheer number of hours and Collision. This is bound to happen. But it seems to me like they've also kind of given up on Rampage a little bit. Yes, they have, you know, the quality matches, but it's not like the upper tier guys also. So
yeah.
They need to, not an easy solution, but there is a solution. But something they need to work on.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know. I mean, we could brainstorm ideas for Rampage. It just feels like a losing challenge to do much. But I mean, yeah, dropping under 300,000 isn't good at all. I mean, it just feels like you're getting to the point where it's not worth it. All right. Up next, JB from Detroit. I feel as though Seth Rollins just doesn't really fit on his War Games team, and he feels forced in rather last minute. I know Kevin Owens is on SmackDown, but he's the more logical fit. Yeah, but I mean, it seems like they're going to tell that story. Like, as you know, Ryan shared with us, you know, the Cody Seth handshake. I think that's a story you tell. That I think that could be a feature, not a flaw. In other words, is it a good fit? You know, can they get along? Is Judgment Day going to be more cohesive or not? Since, you know, Priest has his issues with JD, and you know, both teams don't necessarily have to be 100% united for it to work. In fact, it might add a little intrigue to the match if people think maybe Seth is just one miscue away from losing complete faith in one or more of his partners.
Definitely, you're right. You want to have that intrigue going into it, and it's just another storyline aspect that they can exploit and fill some airtime with the tension between Cody and Seth. And I'm glad that he brought up Seth, because I was encouraged by how he was tonight. Sure, the outlandish outfits and jackets still had that, but he was much more serious and focused tonight in his interview. Offering the title shot is very serious. None of the singing and none of the exaggerated laughs. And we need more of that stuff. And he's 100 times better when he's like that. So hopefully this is a sign of things to come, and they're kind of phasing out the laugh and all of that. Sure, you can keep the outlandish outfits and everything. I mean, I tone that down too, but that's just my own personal taste. But I understand you got to, you know, have your marketing, your outrageous characters, sure. But when he's more focused on the mic like that, he's just a much better character.
Number two from the category of Great Minds Think Alike. He sent this in before our show started. Could Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton be the traditional fifth members of the match? I mean, he's not mentioning CM Punk, although he did notice them and we didn't, because that's coming up, but he didn't mention him as a potential partner. So I mean, we covered Drew and Randy, but just noting JB thought of that too. He also said, what did we take away from the CM Punk chance tonight? So Ryan gave us some perspective, which is, it doesn't sound like he's super popular and he's getting shouted down. And fans were bored, I guess. I know you're not just immersed in social media, Darren. I haven't sensed that there's like a ton of you know, CM Punk stuff going on. I think Fightful had something on that today, but I didn't see anything on it. So, I don't know. Maybe there were rumors that I just, you know, missed out on other than.
Yeah, I think they might have said something like he was going to talk to the board or something like that. Did I read that? Some members of the board?
I mean, well, the headlines today were just that he's denying he's returning to WWE, which doesn't mean anything other than he's denying it. It doesn't mean he is or isn't going if he says that. But, you know, I mean, it's nothing super new. As long as Punk is out there and WWE, I mean, even if WWE says he's not coming in, people are going to go, oh, that means he's coming in. I mean, there's just nothing you can do to stop this. So,
right. But it's the fan base. I just don't get the sense that anybody's clamoring for this to happen. I think they're content with what they have. And
yeah, that's my argument.
With the Miz and
I think WWE's happy with what they have. And, yeah, I don't think. But,
like right before he came back to AEW, people were kind of wanting it, and it was building up, and people were really enthused about it. But and there was always talk in the background: is will he come in? But I just, at least in the circles I watched, I haven't heard a peep about it.
I should probably be posting more stories on CM Punk because it does good numbers. But I, to my own, you know, detriment, I don't chase the trending topic of the day all that much. You know, if it feels like people are just grasping. And so I say that as putting in perspective, the reason there's a lot of CM Punk headlines is people who are running websites who want a lot of clicks and want to make more money or impress their editors are digging for some headline of the week on Punk. And it doesn't mean, I'm not saying it's not that they're right or wrong or they're using good or bad judgment. I'm saying CM Punk in a headline draws clicks. So just keep in mind there are people looking to improve upon last month's traffic and they're looking to impress their editors and get clicks. And so sometimes we end up with, guess what I heard, or here's a way to interpret this. And as you can tell by my tone, I'm not currently going to dive into, is this smoke that leads to fire, or is it smoke being generated by reporters who want to then go, could that be CM Punk smoking? when they're the ones, you know, creating the smoke. Okay, I've taken that analogy far enough. All right. He also says Adam Pearce just doesn't have the same gravitas announcing War Games as William Regal does. As always, love the show and go VIP. Yeah, I mean, I was amused by it. You want to play games? You want to play games? You want to play games? We're going to play games. What's going to be War Games? I mean, it was funny. I don't know.
Kind of forced.
Yeah. Definitely forced. Yes. Where is he going with this? No, we know where you're going, Adam Pearce.
Exactly.
I could have done without it, to be honest. Because it came across like he just sort of said, oh, you want to play games? And then he's like, oh, that worked out well. What a coincidence, as opposed to, like, planning it. Or he was planning it and thought he was clever, but in a way it kind of took away some of the...
Absolutely.
Like, the pop for it. He goes, you know, if you guys, you know, whatever, can't stop being so disruptive, you know, and you guys are creating chaos, there's only one thing we can do. That's put you inside a cage at War Games. I mean, I just would have rather had it more straightforward.
Right. And I half expected Regal to come out to the stage and be the one to announce it, because I think he can come out on television now. But it would have just been kind of out of nowhere. But people would have enjoyed seeing him.
Darren, anything else you want to bring up before we sign off today?
No, I think... I had all my notes. If anyone wants to catch me on social media, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at DKLSTL. And my YouTube channel, Darren's Wrestling World, you can find some content there, action figure stuff. And I met Ginger Spice, so I have a video about that as well. So sometimes
awesome.
Non-wrestling content pops up of the
great.
Weirdest kind.
Love it. Love it. All right, cool. Well, thank you, Darren. Thank you, Ryan, our SI correspondent. Thanks to everybody else who contributed. Thanks to our listeners. Keep spreading the word. Let people know if you enjoy this show. And we'll talk to y'all next time.